In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we celebrate the Epiphany and the baptism of our Lord. First from Matthew chapter 2. There came wise men from the east, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him." Lo, the star which they saw in the east appeared before them, till it came over and stood where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him, and opened up their treasures and presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And we also celebrate the baptism of our Lord today. When all the people were baptized, Jesus also had been baptized and was praying. And the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We are in the Epiphany season, and I love Epiphany. Why? Because Epiphany is all about light and life. And we are surrounded with darkness and death. But light and life are shining for you and me. Now, you may not realize that there are actually four key events in the life of Christ in the season of Epiphany. Epiphany is always January 6th, the 12th day of Christmas. Epiphany, the star, the Magi, bringing their gifts, showing that the light has come for the Gentile nations. That's the first event in the season of Epiphany. The second one is the baptism of our Lord, which we consider today, when the light and the voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The other event in Epiphany is the first miracle Jesus did of changing water into wine, by which he showed his disciples his glory. And the culmination of Epiphany is Transfiguration Sunday, when the Lord Jesus Christ is literally shining like the sun on the top of the mountain. His clothes became bright as light, and the same word is here: "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." So may Epiphany bring you light and life. Isaiah reminds us of the source of that light and life. "The Lord redeemed you. He called you by name. He will be with you. He is the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. His eyes watch over you. He will gather you because you are created for his glory. He formed and made you." Since Jesus is the light of the world, we are called to reflect that light into the world. And so today we consider these two events in the life of our Lord, his Epiphany and the baptism, so that we can have light and life. It is fitting that as we begin 2010, I'm finally getting used to saying 2010, that we again look at the work here in our church and in our school and in our campus ministry as we now again take on this joyous work in our community in 2010. How the light and life can shine through us in our congregation, throughout our school and our preschool, and on the OU campus among students and international students, that all may know, young and old, the light and the life of Christ. So let's consider the Epiphany first. The light of the Lord for your life. The Epiphany, and the word Epiphany means appearing of a light, reminding us of the star that guided the Magi. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the city of David. He was the King of the Jews, of the royal line of David. His star was a miraculous star that could move across the sky and stop over the house. The Magi knew he was the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the shepherd and ruler of the people of Israel. He had all power in heaven and on earth, and here he was, a young child, true man, sharing our flesh and blood in a house. And here come the mighty Magi, the wise men, these astronomers who knew the celestial bodies, the stars and the planets. And they had come a long way from the east, perhaps 1,000 miles. Perhaps the star had appeared even 2 years before, this miraculous star. They came with exceeding great joy, and now Mary and Jesus are in a house. What do? They fall down and worship him. Why? Herod the king was an imposter king. The Romans had put him in place, and he is, of course, threatened by Jesus. Herod actually wants to kill Jesus. And Mother Mary, who ponders the Magi just like she pondered the shepherds, this mother realized, these wise men, they know who my child is. God has revealed to them that this child born from my womb is the King of the Jews and the light for all the nations. And at the Epiphany, look at the gifts that Mary sees the Magi bring. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Did you know that those three gifts show us the threefold office of Christ as prophet, priest, and king? Gold for the king of all the nations. Frankincense, incense, is what a priest used in the temple as the altar sacrifice was burning and the incense went up, the intercession and prayers for God. Jesus is our true high priest. And myrrh, which was used to anoint a body. Jesus is the prophet who, after he was crucified and buried, the women brought myrrh to the tomb to anoint his body. The three gifts they brought showed us who Jesus was as prophet, priest, and king. There's a lot of darkness in this world. Maybe you've been experiencing some type of darkness in your own life. There is a darkness of not knowing what the future holds, like not having a job, not knowing where God is guiding your future. There's also a darkness that comes over people like a fog when their relationships are all falling apart, and it's like a specter that comes and haunts people. There's also the darkness of guilt when people who've suppressed things all their life, all these things start coming back to them and they feel like they're walking in darkness. Jesus comes to dispel your darkness, to drive it out with light. When it's dark and the sun comes up, the entire world lights up. When there's a fog and the sun comes out, it burns off the fog, and it's a clear day. That's what the light of Christ does for you. It disperses and dispels the darkness. The more you know of Christ, the more light you will have in your life. The less you know of Christ, the less light you will have. It's really as simple as that. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and that light shines into our hearts so that we can walk in the light of Christ in sincerity and in truth. I learned this week for the first time what the word sincere means, to live a life of light and sincerity. I like Latin, and I didn't realize that the word sincere, sincera, means without wax. Now that's strange. To be sincere means you're without wax? What does that mean? This comes from the first century when people in the cornerstone of their commerce was pottery. You had pottery all through your house as utensils for cooking and eating. And you would go and purchase pottery at the marketplace. When there was a hairline crack in a piece of pottery, and the seller wanted to fake you out, he would rub wax into that crack, polish it real well with a nice finish, so he might fake you out. But a discerning shopper could take the pot out into the sunlight, and if they could see the light shining through the pot, they knew there was actually a crack in it, and they wouldn't buy it. people and sellers of this pottery who wanted to have people's business and give good merchandise then began to put a little sign on the table by the pots. It said, "Sincere, without wax." Meaning you can trust this pot, it's reliable, it has no cracks in it, it's genuine, reliable pottery. Sincere, genuine, trustworthy, trustworthy, reliable. This is what we are with the light of Christ shining in us. When a person is walking in the light of Christ, we can hold up under the light. Sincerity in Christ can be seen by others. We are, if you will, without wax in our cracks. We are pottery shaped and formed by the Holy Spirit. We reflect the light of Christ that then enlightens others who are walking in darkness. You know, your life has a much bigger purpose than just you. Christ intends you to be light for others. Having the light of Christ in your life, dispelling your darkness, may He use you so that light can be reflected into the lives of others. That's the epiphany of our Lord. The second thing we consider this morning is the baptism of our Lord. And here we consider life. John the Baptist, who was baptizing with water of repentance, was pointing people to Jesus the whole time. There is Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He said, "I'm not even worthy to untie His sandals." John preached law. He exhorted Herod and condemned Herod for taking his brother's wife for his own wife and committing adultery. He condemns all evil as the law of God does. But he preached the gospel and good news to those who were in despair. And he called the common people to the good news that in the Lamb of God, Jesus, God takes away the sin of the world. He proclaimed that Jesus was the Christ who would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire, which is a picture of Pentecost. And Jesus comes in both judgment and mercy. On the last day when His winnowing fork takes the chaff and sets it aside and burns it in unquenchable fire is a picture of people who in repentance and who will not believe in Christ in hell. And He takes the wheat and puts it into the barn. And those who believe in Christ and live a repentant life and faith in Christ will be in heaven like wheat in a barn. Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And this is where we have life. And John is confused. He says to Jesus, "I should be baptized by you, and you want me to baptize you?" Jesus says, "Allow this, so we can fulfill all righteousness." What does that mean? You see the Trinity present at baptism. Jesus the Son being baptized in the water and praying is there in the water. The Holy Spirit descends in a bodily form like a dove. And then the heavens are split open, and the Father's voice says, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Why do we have life and righteousness in Jesus' baptism? Jesus' baptism is the opposite of our baptism. We enter the water of baptism covered in sin, and then we leave those waters covered in God's righteousness in Christ. But Jesus entered the water covered in righteousness, and He came out covered in our sin. He's our substitute. He took our place. The holy man became as if he was a sinner. He carried in that water all of our sin, and that work began right there at His baptism of carrying every sin of every man, woman, and child upon Himself. At 30 years old, Jesus was baptized and began His work in ministry of being the sacrifice for our sin. And when God the Father, and with the attestation of the Holy Spirit coming upon Him, says, "In Him I am well pleased," that body would one day be crucified and raised from the dead. And Jesus was a marked man from the moment of His baptism. He was marked to be the one to overcome Satan's temptations. He was marked to bear God's wrath on the cross. He was marked as the one who would open heaven for all believers. Jesus has blazed the trail before us into heaven. And the reason that we have life in His name is that we are new man in Christ, have been given faith by the Holy Spirit, and that faith adopts us into God's family. And when the time comes for us to leave this world, the heavens will open for us. The angels will carry us home, and we will hear the Father say about you and me, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Meaning, you are covered with the righteousness of my Son. That is life. Life which dispels death. Now, it's fine for us to talk about light and life, the epiphany and baptism of our Lord. But the question for you is, how do you have this light, and how do you have this life? Paul answered that question this morning, didn't he? In Romans 6, he said, "Don't you know that you who have been baptized have been baptized into Christ's death and His burial and His resurrection? Did you know a mystical thing happened when you were baptized? You were connected to Christ. He is the head of the church and we are His body. We were mystically connected to Him. It doesn't look like much, some water and word, but then we are joined with Christ." And that is where light and life is in your daily life. The old Adam, the sinner, can every day be drowned so that in the grace of the new man as saint, you can live before God in righteousness. And Paul explained that this morning. The old self is crucified so the new can walk in newness of life. You're not enslaved to sin anymore. You're united to Jesus' resurrection. You were set free from sin. You live with Him. You have no more fear of the dominion of death because Christ died once for all as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. Therefore, your baptism is both a past event and a present reality. Now, I have some people misunderstand when we say, "Remember your baptism." Now, I don't remember my baptism. I was baptized in 1955, and now you know how old I am. I was an infant. I was 1 month old. Remembering our baptism doesn't remembering the face of the pastor who baptized you. Remembering your baptism, remembering is remembering the day of your baptism, and that's why we have a baptismal certificate with the parents and the sponsors and the pastor that bears witness that you were baptized. But this is the point. My baptism and your baptism is a past event, but it's also a present reality. I can say I was baptized in 1955, and I can also say I am baptized now in 2010. Both are true. Every day I can drown the old Adam, and the new man can come forth because I was baptized and because I am baptized. And when you begin to understand your baptismal identity, it will transform your life because you will realize it really is true. Every day is a new day, no matter what the past has been. When you get up in the morning, because you're a baptized Christian, today is a new day in God's kingdom. And with God's help, you can walk in that light and that life. So let us rejoice in this light that dispels the darkness. Let us rejoice in the life that replaces death. We have wonderful challenges ahead in 2010. May the light shine brightly here in our church where we're faithfully preaching the gospel, administering the sacraments, Sunday school for your children, gathering around God's holy word that is read and taught and received in divine service. May the light and life shine brightly in the work of our church. May the light and life shine brightly in the work of our school, where we are bringing gospel to moms and dads and children of members of our church and non-members in the community, where these children and families are learning the light of Christ through our school and our preschool and our child care. And may the light and life of Christ shine brightly on campus as OU is about to begin soon again, as we continue to take the gospel onto the OU campus and even to international students who are taking that gospel as our vicar and our college students minister to them and members of our congregation in this campus work, and that light and life goes with them to their countries from which they came. Great work lies ahead in 2010. May the light and life of Christ shine brightly into our lives, and may that light shine to all the nations, that all may know the light of Christ and fall down and worship Him. God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may that peace that surpasses our human understanding guide our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.